We have begun the great and holy season of Lent, Quaresma. Ash Wednesday was just 4 days ago, and today is the first Sunday, so we're really still near the very beginning. Lent is often described as a journey, a sacred journey. We could call it a pilgrimage. Now in 2025, we are also celebrating the Jubilee Year. And the theme of this year is connected with the idea of pilgrimage, because the theme is pilgrims of hope. Pilgrims of hope. Sa Tagalog, lagbay pag-asa. Hindi exactly the same. Journey of hope, pilgrims of hope. But to get the idea, we're on a journey through time, and hope moves us to look forward to what is to come, especially to our destination. The destination of Lent is Holy Week and Easter, the great celebration of our salvation by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where we're going in Lent. And it's important to keep this in mind from the very beginning so that we keep moving in the right direction, so that we have the right motivation and the right dispositions. Lent has a reputation for being a difficult and solemn journey. And that's correct, it is, it should be, serious. Some of the prominent themes of Lent are clear from the very first Sunday you see in the Gospel: fasting, desert, temptations, spiritual warfare, things like this. So in Lent we are deliberately following in the footsteps of Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Lord. He spent 40 days in prayer and fasting in the desert. And so we spend 40 days in prayer and fasting in the desert. He spent 40 days being tempted by the devil, and we spend 40 days being tempted by the devil. Now this is no picnic. This is like marching into battle, the season of Lent. But as I say, it's important to keep the destination in mind, because otherwise we could get discouraged or lose our way when the battle gets difficult. We're not joining a losing battle. We're joining a great victory, the great victory of Jesus over Satan, over sin, over temptation, over death itself. That's good to keep in mind. The 40 days represent this period of time, this time of trial, of testing, of purification. That's why fasting is an important part of Lent. But the 40 days are also symbolic of our whole life on earth, what we could call the 40 years of life. So in a sense, we're not only following Jesus, the journey of Jesus for 40 days in the desert, we're also following the Israelites and their 40-year journey in the desert. And I stress this not only because of the symbolic number 40, but also because it's the setting of today's first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses is giving some of his final instructions to the people before they enter into the promised land. What the church is teaching us here is that we are in a situation similar to that of the Israelites. They had been set free from slavery in Egypt. They were out of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea. But they were not yet in the promised land. They were still in the desert. And it was a long and difficult journey. And Moses speaks about it in the first reading. Well, this is exactly where we are. You know, in this time between our baptism and our entry into eternal life. Our baptism was like passing through the Red Sea. We got out of slavery, but we're not in heaven yet. We're in the desert, and it's a long and difficult journey. But Moses here speaks about the future. He's counseling the pilgrims of hope. He says, when you get there, when you get into that land flowing with milk and honey, be sure to thank the Lord. Be sure to make a thanksgiving offering from the produce of the promised land and worship the Lord who brought you there. You see how confident he is that that they're going to make it, that they won't fail to cross over, that they will really enjoy the fruit of their labor. It's a great attitude to have when you're still in the desert. It's important to realize that I'm not going to be here forever. I'm on my way to a good, a beautiful destination. Where will I be forever? With God in heaven. That's what we should hope for. So we're like a patient in the hospital recovering and planning his future vacation. When I get well, this is what I'm going to do. But right now, I still have to work through the recovery process. Okay, in the meantime, here we are. We're here in the desert, and today's gospel reminds us that we are not alone in the desert. We are with Jesus, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're also with the devil, who is intent on ruining everything for us, a real enemy. If you think the desert is bad, if you think this desert of life is bad, it's nothing compared to hell, which is where the devil lives. So what's going on in the desert? One thing for sure, temptation. Tukso. Everyone is tempted. Jesus is tempted. The Blessed Virgin Mary is tempted. All the saints are tempted. And all of us are tempted every day. It's part of being human. Remember, temptation is not sin. Temptation is an invitation to sin. So everyone is tempted, but we're not all tempted in the same way by the same things at the same time. Everybody's different, different temptations, and we have to know our own. Men are tempted differently than women are. Older people are not tempted by the same things that tempt younger people. Rich people face different temptations than poor people. What we have to do is become very familiar with our own weak spots. This kind of self-knowledge is crucial to making progress in the journey of Lent and in the pilgrimage of life. In fact, what we do during Lent, what we have chosen to do, I hope you have chosen to take on some program for Lent, what we should do during Lent should be based, in part at least, on this awareness of what we face, what temptations we face, and where we tend to fall. So what tempts you? What catches you? What traps you? What tricks you? Is it money? That's a common one. Money, possessions, ownership of something more beautiful, more precious. Is it food? That's the first temptation that the devil presented to Jesus because he was hungry. Food, drink. Is it gossip? Is it power? Is it the internet? Internet's a very fertile ground for temptations. There's lots of good things on the internet, but there's a lot of tempting things too. And I don't simply mean the immoral images and videos. There's that temptation to keep on playing the game, or keep on watching the little videos, or keep on connecting to the social media and using up all your time there and not for the Lord and not for others. Another big temptation is just to be lazy. I just won't bother. Another temptation, pleasure. Anything that gives pleasure can become a temptation. So there's lots of them. Now, what about this temptation? What are we supposed to do? Well, Jesus and Mary, they just said no. No. No to the evil invitations that were set before them. We don't always do that. We're not that smart. Now, we might think, looking at this story in today's gospel, this story of the devil tempting Jesus, we might think that the devil is stupid. I mean, he knows, or he suspects Jesus is the Son of God. He says, if you're the Son of God, try this, try that. He knows that Jesus has great power, great honor. Does he really think he can trick Jesus into deviating from the will of the Father? I don't know what he thinks. I don't know what he was really up to. In front of Jesus, the devil is stupid. He's stupid. And Jesus defeats him very easily every time. But in front of us, we're the stupid ones. and the devil is brilliant and devious. The tempter is a liar. He's a manipulator. He's a murderer. He's a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. He's the real enemy of our happiness. And he often acts without our even noticing it. He's tricky. The obvious answer to his temptations is to say no. Just say no. And the slogan is just say no, like Jesus. However, the devil doesn't give up. If one thing doesn't work, he'll try something else, or he'll try it again. If he can't allure us or seduce us, well, then he'll try to deceive us. If he can't deceive us, then he'll try to discourage us. If he can't discourage us, he'll try to distract us. Anything, anything to get us away from the will of God. Which means just saying no is often very difficult for us because we're up against a very strong enemy. We need help. And we have a lot of help. But this is where the church's wisdom is so valuable. In today's gospel, Jesus teaches us one of our great weapons, not the only one, but one of the great weapons is the use of the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Now we have, as you say, we have lots of weapons. We have the sacraments, we have prayer, we have the liturgy. But here, Jesus, to defeat temptation, quotes from the Old Testament. He does it three times, and every single time, it stops the devil in his tracks. Very effective. Now, there's different kinds of temptations, as I said, and here, since Jesus was tempted three times, we can pick out three categories. We can only do this briefly, but it's important for us to reflect on what sort of things tempt us. The first one is our temporal needs, our physical needs, like food, like bread. Turn this stone into bread. Well, how important is our food to us? How important is our temporal needs? Jesus says, we don't live on bread alone. So don't make that your highest priority. Yes, we need food to eat, to live, but it's not the most important thing. We don't live on bread alone. We live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus dismisses that first temptation. Even though he's very hungry, he doesn't need food as his highest priority. The second temptation is a little bit deeper. It has more to do with our desires. Maybe not what we need to live, but what we would really like power or like honor. This is the second temptation, right? All the kingdoms, all the power and glory. The devil says, all this has been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want to. It's not really true, but the devil's a liar. So he's presenting this lie to Jesus. And the temptation is giving it to desires. We would love to be famous, maybe. We would love to at least have people admire us, or at least like us, or acknowledge us. We want more people to notice us. We want more people to comment on our social media posts. We want them to acknowledge and give thanks for the good things that we do. Jesus says, no, no. Don't turn any of those desires into a god. Don't give in to an idolatry. What does he say? He's quoting the scriptures. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Don't serve your desires. Don't subject your relationship with God to the desires, even if they're strong, because that's reverse. That's a reverse. Him alone shall you serve. Okay, the third temptation, a little bit more subtle, but more dangerous. This one has to do with thinking that we can control God, or manipulate him, or test him. Here the devil uses the word of God himself. See, he's clever. He tries to turn Jesus' weapon against him. Jesus has been quoting the scriptures to him and shutting him down. Well, now the devil says, well, look, the Bible says that the angels will watch over you. Why don't you trust them? Why don't you take a dangerous step and see what happens? This temptation is about the most fundamental thing, actually. It's not really about whether God or the angels will watch over us. It's about who is really in charge here. Who has the last say? Who is God for you, or are you God for yourself? Will you really submit to God, or will you demand that he submits to you? What's the answer to this one? Jesus shuts down the whole conversation. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Huwag mong subukin ang Panginoon mong Diyos. Don't entertain any suggestion that God is not good, or that he's not loving, or that he's not on your side. Shut that all down. Those are all demonic lies. And the gospel today ends with Jesus winning and the devil losing, which is always the way it ends up. Jesus always wins, the devil always loses. Not that the devil gives up, but he's beaten back for a while. So don't give space to the devil. Don't give him any time. Don't give him any curiosity. Don't say, well, maybe, seguro, I'm not sure, I don't know, I'll think about it. Just say no. And if you find yourself too weak to say no, turn to the scriptures, turn to the sacraments, turn to prayer, turn to the rosary, turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Use the weapons that we have in Lent. Turn to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Don't rely on your own strength. If we do, if we rely on ourselves, we lose. But if we rely on the victory of Jesus, we win. Jesus won in the desert, and he won more definitively on the cross. When we rely on him, we share in his victory. It's a guarantee. So this is our marching orders for the Battle of Lent. In the battle of temptation, rely on the victory, the power that comes from Jesus Christ.